Oh, Chris, we got to talk about Deathloop. We have to talk
Well,
about the masterpiece.
we also had to talk about the fact that it's been over a month since we've been
It had.
around.
It's not our fault.
Well, as it says on the tin, we are the Nolan Nerdcast, and we're in New Orleans for the most part, and a storm hit us.
And stuff happened.
Yeah, it fucked our shit, and I was out of the city for about 2 weeks.
Yep.
How long were you out of the city for, Josh?
I was out for about 2 weeks. I got back on the 9th, with power, which was great. But yeah, my neighborhood's all messed up, but my house is good. But the neighborhood's all messed up.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same as it is up here. So yeah, we've been gone for a month. My brain, at the very least, is a fine mushy paste. So anything that happened in the first 3 weeks of this month, it didn't happen. So.
It didn't happen. No, nothing. I don't know what happened. For me, the only thing that really happened was Deathloop came out.
Yes, and that brings us into our first major topic, Josh. What about Deathloop? What's the word?
Deathloop. The word is that if you have a PlayStation 5, go get it. Don't even hesitate. Well, okay. I gotta work on this more because it's more of like dealing with the fact that, okay, if you like shooters and if you like some really fun mechanics and if you like controls that are super tight and all the guns feel so different from each other, I say go pick it up. I like to refer to this game as being a little bit of Groundhog's Day with holy shit, there's a kick button? I can kick people? Wait up, I can kick this guy off of a ledge? Wait
You
up, I can
did
kick this guy and shoot
say that in
him?
your very complicated review that you sent us.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of really cool 1960s James Bond aspects to it. All the characters are quite interesting, which makes the game even more interesting. And once you start learning about the loop and the scientists behind it, and that this might have been a communist island, like you might be off of Russia type situation. Like there's a lot of weird stuff happening, and you don't know how long this loop has been going on for, but you know the loop started in 1963. You get that idea. Everybody, all the main visionaries are a little psychotic, and they're all really interesting. And this is a game that I have to say that I love lore in games. I like finding lore books. I like reading the lore books. I like reading the conversations between people when I play Fallout and Skyrim. I like reading almost everything. It's really nice just to spend some time just reading and just understanding the world. That's all this game really is. You have to look for the lore in this game because then it helps you figure out how to take out your targets. This game rewards players for being smart and for being patient. And it's, I don't know. I like Colt. I think the voice actor is very entertaining and very fun. I like how all the guns work in this game. Like the one cool thing I have to say is that the lower tier weapons jam and then higher tier weapons. So like you can get a gun that's just a regular like white and it will jam. But if you get the legendary version of that gun, it won't jam. So there's some really cool, nice little aspects happening. The slabs are really cool. That gives you these really cool powers like warping and slowing down. Well, really turning invisible is one thing. There's a lot to talk about with this game, and it's like it makes playing this game feels like there's a lot from this studio that they're like, because these are the Dishonored guys. So then what else did they do? They
They
did
did
Dishonored
Prey.
and they did Prey.
New
Yes.
Prey, not Old Prey.
Yes. So there's a lot from those two games in this game, but yet it's its own individual game. I say, don't be the type of person, if you have a PlayStation 5 right now, And if you have an Xbox S, don't be like, oh, I'm gonna wait for it to come out on Game Pass. No, play it now. You should enjoy it on, because you're not gonna get the same gaming experience as you are with the Xbox, because the controller, the PlayStation DualSense, plays a major part in some of the little nuances in this game. And from the way the weapons work, the way the vibrations work when you walk, so you can get an idea of like what type of footing you're on, it vibrates a little bit different. That's a really cool thing. All of the transmissions, like one of the characters is talking to you pretty much through like a, you know, like a walkie-talkie that comes out of the headset, and it's, I mean, not that the controller, and it sounds very good. Like, it really sounds like you're talking to this person, or you're listening to this person through a walkie-talkie, the way it sounds. So there's a lot of really cool concepts in this game. And I don't know. This has been a really strange year for video games, just like last year was. You can throw out Game of the Year status. But honestly, it's probably one of the best games in the past 10 years.
That's really high praise.
One of the best. And this is a great, I've really felt like this should have been the game that kicked off the PlayStation. This would have been a really good, this is the PlayStation 5, here's Deathloop. And I love the aesthetic of the game. I love the 1960s mod aesthetic with some weird communist undertones. It's really cool. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, this is the first game that I think has made me miss not having a PlayStation first.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the stuff that's come out on there, like, you know, the stuff that I'm interested in, like, you know, Final Fantasy VII, the second part, or Retrograde, and Miles Morales. You know, those are neat, but they're not system sellers for me. And I think this one is the first one where it's like I was actively looking for a system.
Yeah, this is it. It, the whole Bethesda deal with Microsoft is, it really, I don't know. It kind of hurts, because like this really shows, I hope this game sells very well, by the way, on the PlayStation, because then it will show Bethesda that, like, yeah, they, people like your games, and they like your games on the PlayStation. So don't count them out.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see
Microsoft
how it plays out.
MLB the Show. Yeah, I'm just saying, Microsoft got MLB the Show, and they threw it on Game Pass right on day one. So, yeah, Starfield, boom, PlayStation 5. And I'm gonna say Starfield's gonna get released on the PlayStation 5 only because of how well Deathloop is doing.
I feel like you've thrown that out a lot.
I think I might have said Deathloop is gonna do extremely well, and it's gonna make Bethesda put games on the PlayStation 5.
Well, I'm just going to let you know that the initial Google search of Deathloop sales numbers are pretty poor.
That sucks.
Yes, and I, you know, Matt's got an in on the, well, on the numbers guy, and he can tell you everything. Deathloop is currently number one on the UK charts. But,
oh, that's good for them.
Another thing I saw said there were only 20,000 concurrent players at one point, which I don't understand anything anymore. So maybe when Matt decides to join us again, we'll get like an accurate number.
Yeah. Look, you know, it does kind of suck to hear some of these things in regards to like how sales are looking and so on. And I tried playing the multiplayer, and there was apparently nobody on the servers when I was playing. This was like at like 10 in the morning. You know, it's weird because the game is getting some great praise all around. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the other strange thing about it. This game is getting some really great praise all around. Is Is Fortnite just taking over everyone's gaming mind? I don't know. Has the gaming community completely changed and don't really care about single player story mode? I really don't know. Is it because it's a protest against PlayStation because it's hard to get a PlayStation 5? I don't know. I think a lot of that stuff really is in the I don't know category. Because what do I know, Chris?
Not much.
Not much. I know that Deathloop is a very good game, and if you have the PlayStation 5, you should definitely play it. But if you like first-person shooters, I think that's the other thing. Like, if you like first-person shooters, this is a perfect game for you. It's so good.
All right,
It's so
well,
good.
I look forward to hearing the next step of your Deathloop review whenever you get to it. How far along are you on Deathloop?
I am probably me. I think I've put it. I went through. I finally completed a full day. I've killed about four visionaries in a day, and I'm in the middle of my second day, and I've already killed two visionaries. And every time you kill a visionary, you kind of get their powers, and then you can level up those powers by killing those visionaries again. And the idea is that you have to kill all of the visionaries all in the same day
Okay.
in the loop. So you got to figure out, you got to, it's pretty much you have to figure out how to kill two birds with one stone.
Interesting. Very
So
tricky.
once you, yeah, you have to, that's why you read the notes and you listen to the conversations and you figure out where they're at during the day because there's four parts of the day. And there's four sections. So you have to figure out where, who's going where, is someone meeting you there? And yeah, so I feel like it's like the final, when you're ready to do it, like oh, when all the pieces are put together, I think it's just gonna be beautiful. And I'm very excited for that moment to see how all of that plays out.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to hear your next part.
It's like stacking dominoes, you know, and then pushing them and seeing how it goes.
Making a Rube
Like I said,
Goldberg
the game
machine.
rewards you. The game rewards you for being a smart player. That is the biggest thing.
Okay.
So yeah. And then I don't know, it's crazy. It's crazy because like Diablo 2 comes out tomorrow, the re-release.
Yes.
And Activision Blizzard has been under even more and more heat where people are stepping down, lawyers are looking at this thing and like, nah, you're in trouble.
It's just from from a cursory look, it sounds bad all around.
It's bad. The United States government is stepping in to figure out what's going on. But like the biggest question, and Kotaku threw up this question, is like, you know, do you feel okay with purchasing this Diablo 2 remake? And a lot of the comment sections are pretty much, it's like, yeah, you can be against all these companies, but you're technically hurting the developers who've made this game. And, you know, there is no like positive net gain when it comes to capitalism. It's like, yeah, we get that. And I made a
This,
comment.
oh no, go on.
I made a comment to somebody. You know, it's funny. It's like we can boycott and protest like all these major companies over and over and over, but at the end of the day, you still put gasoline in your car.
Yeah.
And oil companies are killing people every single day with their products.
Yeah, and people are horribly brutalized to make
So
our phones and electronics.
exactly. The crystals in your electronics that are mined in Africa, the rare earth metals that are mined all over the world. Your computer that was being made in China under an authoritarian capitalistic society, yeah, you can't just go live in the woods.
If you can.
If you can. But
But
honestly, like it is a lot of bullshit what Activision and Blizzard has allowed at the top.
well, and also here's another aspect of that, that you know, we don't talk about a lot. but it happens every time they bring up a boycott or a don't purchase this because it's evil, is the internet makes everyone a little braver because you don't have to look at anyone else.
Exactly.
So it's very easy to say, well, I am not going to purchase Diablo 2 because I stand against Blizzard and their horrible practice of women. And then as soon as you're done saying that, click that buy button on battle.net and just enjoy Blizzard and Diablo.
Exactly. It's like all the people who play Overwatch. It's all the people who are still playing World of Warcraft, if that's still a thing that's happening. It's
apparently
like,
it's
yeah,
still
you're participating.
Happening.
It's still happening. You know, participating in it is the biggest issue. I feel like it's like, you know, at the end of the day, Diablo 2 is a very dumb, fun game. It's not really the best writing. We know that. A lot of us have played Diablo 2 a lot. I'm one of those people. But it's a fun game. And Diablo 2 is kind of like the loot game, the original really obsessing over I need to get the best gear type game. I feel for a big generation. But yeah, it's not Blizzard, Activision who actually made this re-release of a game, but they're the publishers and they're the ones who are eventually like making the money, because there's one argument out there in regards to it's like, oh, these developers have already been paid, but then the studio that these developers work for get a bad rap because they worked for Blizzard, Activision, but their game didn't sell well. So yeah, where's the fine line, right?
The fine line is listen to your heart and follow your own judgment.
Exactly. I'm not going to tell you to buy the game. We're not going to tell you not to buy the game. The game's probably going to get some nice reviews, or the game might not get any really decent reviews because like that might be the protest.
Yeah.
By the reviewers. And I think that was the one thing that I noticed with Ghost of Tsushima. With some of the reviews, I was like, what are the complaints about? The complaints aren't about the gameplay. The complaints aren't about the story. The complaints are about, like, the perception of, like, the Japanese culture in this game done by an American studio. I was like, you're not critiquing the game. You're critiquing your own social justice style war that you're campaigning on a game done by a studio who pretty much made a love letter to Kurosawa films.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
We will.
It's a lot. It's a lot to. We will see. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to really just process. But hey, what's going to happen with Diablo 4? You know. But then again, like it is like, you know, I'm not, out of all the Blizzard games, Diablo is the only game I play.
Oh yeah.
That I've ever played from Blizzard. I really don't care for anything else they do.
Yeah, I don't have the reflexes for StarCraft, and I really don't care for Overwatch. And I'm just not smart enough to do Hearthstone consistently.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Let your conscience be your guide. Josh,
exactly.
Let's get some questions, because I had some other ideas and they kind of flew out of my head. So.
Oh. What happened?
It's been a month, man. It's been rough.
You're right, but you can't. You can't just let it fly out of your head. You gotta bring them in. You gotta catch them.
I'm working on it. Maybe something will pop in while we're doing some questions.
I'm down. Let's do it. Let's rock and roll.
All right, Josh. What scene from a horror movie or show was the hardest, most uncomfortable thing to watch?
I have all horror movies.
Are you a horror movie person? We're heading into spooky season.
Oh, you know what? First off, I hate the phrase spooky season. I really do.
Josh, it's spooky season. It's the spookiest time of the year.
When did this start? When did they start calling it spooky season?
I don't know.
Somebody has to know. I don't. It's the
weirdest
thing.
I feel like it started as a joke, and then it just became regular nomenclature.
Had to. I'm not really a big horror fan, honestly. I don't like I like old school type horror films. I like really good thrillers. Give me a really good thriller from the 50s and the 60s. I'm fucking down. It's got Kim Novak in it and Jimmy Stewart. I'm talking about Vertigo.
Yeah, so basically
Give me
just
that. That's
Vertigo.
what I'm talking about. Just give me Vertigo.
Tremendous.
I know, right?
Yeah, no.
How about you? What do you have?
The only thing I can go with is I don't deal with eyes. Anything you have to do with eyes, I'm not touching.
With you on that. Eyes and like fingers. I don't like fingers being broken.
I'm not terribly plussed about fingers, frankly. Most gore I'm okay with. It's the eyes that are just like the worst ones.
Yeah.
Meh. All right. Josh, would Superman still be a newspaper reporter if he was created in 2021?
No, he would have a podcast.
Yeah, I think they tinkered with this when the new 52 came out. That he was some
Yeah.
sort of blogger. Oh yeah,
Yeah,
he
he
was
would be doing
because
something like that.
he worked with Cat Grant on the terribly named Clark Cat Co. blog.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, there is one thing. This sparked something. There is an oral history on the New 52 up at Polygon.
I saw that. I read that.
So,
Really interesting.
well, and here's my only problem is it's incomplete. And you can't have an oral
Yeah.
history of New 52 without Geoff Johns, and you can't have it without Gail Simone.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't do an awful lot in the New 52, but her story is one of the more, important. And the fact that Joshua Hill Fialkov and I forget who the other writer who just decided not to comment. Kind of
Yeah.
a bummer.
But
But
it's still really nice. It's really nice talking about that whole incident that happened.
it is a very good read, and it is interesting to hear DiDio, who was editor in chief or co-publisher, whatever his title was at the time, his thoughts on like how they kind of what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah.
I feel like this question is done by like a younger generation. Was Jack Nicholson really terrible as Joker?
Oh no, Jack Nicholson was the best Joker. Sit down. Sit down, you youngies.
I'm sorry. Heath Ledger ran because Jack Nicholson walked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm always team Jack Nicholson as Joker. I think there's so much I really, you know what? Heath Ledger did a great job as a Joker, but it's like a different type of Joker. At that time when that Tim Burton movie in '89 came out, I feel like the Jack Nicholson Tim Burton combination is just it's perfect. It was a perfect storm. And you know, Jack Nicholson is doing a great Cesar Romero impersonation on top of a whole new type of Joker. The biggest thing I think is, and I there's two things I think. One of the biggest thing is that television spot. That they do, that Joker does, the love that Joker cosmetics,
So good.
that's such a so good. And it's such like a real like, oh, that's like 1960s style like comic book mischief
It's so
madness. You know what I
unsettling
mean?
too, 'cause it's so camp,
Oh.
but like when you like think about it
Oh.
for more than like a second, it's just so awful.
It is so awful that he's poisoned all of the cosmetics.
Yeah. I think younger generations in particular are going to have a real problem understanding the effect Batman 89 had on everything.
Yeah,
It's kind of
Batman 89 is such an important.
hard to even like explain like how do you explain this was the biggest thing in the world, this changed everything.
Yeah, it really did. And you know, Jack Nicholson elevated that role. I really like Michael Keaton as Batman. His Bruce Wayne is strange and awkward, and I think is perfect. I really do. I there's something about that movie. And as a kid seeing it, I loved it. I enjoyed every single bit of it. Even the weird, like, Prince music that's attached to that movie is great. It's awful, but it's really nice. It's a really nice touch, you know, in how weird it was.
The Prince music is such an odd choice.
It's such an odd choice. Really, really such an odd choice. And there's a whole video. Oh, man, do yourself a favor, audience, and go look up the Bat Dance by Prince. He's got a costume where he's both Batman and Joker. It's amazing because we all know that the two cannot exist with it. It's like the devil and God. They have to exist within each other. It's a beautiful thing. I just got a little interesting there. But yeah, I just want to say, like, Tim Burton.
Hello?
Hey, yeah?
Yeah, sorry. I lost connection for a second.
Oh, no.
What was that, 26, 25 minutes? 25, 26 minutes. Okay. We'll leave a note to edit that out. All right. Yeah, no.
I was just saying that Tim Burton understood that Gotham City was a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he understood, and he did it. The art design in that film is just fantastic. It really is.
We could go for hours about from the Tim Burton's Batman.
Oh, I can go for hours talking about this film. Look, Nolan's Batmans are good. I like them. They're fun. They're enjoyable. But there's something about Burton's two Batmans that feel like it's like that bridge between the campiness of like the 60s and then moving into that more like realistic phase of filmmaking when it came to comic books.
All right. Let me ask you
Batman
this.
Animated series like that.
Batman or Batman Returns?
Oh. This is tough because Christopher Walken is in Batman Returns.
Ah, he's great.
You put Christopher Walken in as the villain.
And Danny DeVito, and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Danny DeVito, it's so good in the all the little weird stuff. You know what? I gotta say this. This is the other thing I like about Tim Burton's Batmans and Michael Keaton's Batman. He's not doing crazy shit. I love it. I love that Batman. He'll throw a batarang and he'll just stand there, and he's like, "This is gonna do all the work." I have all these cool gadgets. Someone attacks him, he just stands there and blocks the punch and punches him. There's no crazy backflips happening or crazy, like, ninjutsu stuff. It's, like, straight up, it's like, you're coming at me? Sure, I'm going to block this and then punch you.
Yeah,
I'm the Batman.
The answer is Batman Returns, and it's not even close.
Yeah, Batman Returns.
Because
I
could watch Danny DeVito eat that dude's nose all day. All
so
dead.
Good.
Yes.
So dark. Both of those Batman movies are really dark.
They're hilariously dark. Like, the first scene of Returns is a child being thrown over a bridge. Oh, actually, eating a cat and then getting thrown over a bridge.
Brutal. And the end part of Batman 89 with just Joker like throwing money and then he's like, I'm just gonna gas you guys now.
That's such a great Joker plan. It's beautiful.
Right? And then the giant gun.
Very funny.
It's so good. Good.
Josh,
what else we got, Quora?
We got some more. Josh, are you excited about the new Matrix movie, or do you feel that the trilogy was wrapped up?
You know, this is what I think about this new
because
Matrix
while we were
movie.
While we were on our enforced vacation, the trailer for Matrix Resurrections came out.
I think if they do something really crazy, well, it's only one of the sisters. If they do something really crazy. If she pulls off something super crazy to establish, like, the Matrix has always been the Matrix within the Matrix type situation, like, there's levels to the Matrix, and Neo always exists in that coding type situation, but now Trinity is new in the coding, but the Matrix is necessary. Like, if they do some really cool mind-blowing shit, like the Matrix has all these other types of layers in order to withstand, you know, the way the human consciousness works and so on. Or if they do something really bug nuts and say there was never a Matrix in the first place and this guy is schizophrenic and he needs these pills in order so he doesn't think anything's crazy, but he's like hallucinating and he's seeing shit and other people are also doing it because there could be some poisoning by the machines or something. I don't know. I don't know, Chris. I'm on the fence.
So I like the Matrix.
Going all over the place.
I like the first Matrix. I don't really have any opinions about the second and third one because I mostly don't remember them. But I'm always willing to give it a shot. You know, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I do appreciate that the central love story of Morpheus and Trinity is not Morpheus. Neo and Trinity are the focus of this one too.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we'll see. See how it goes. I think the
No, go on.
No, I was like to you know, I've seen the Matrix 2 way too many times in IMAX when they would play it in the IMAX theater, because all my friends at the time wanted to go. That was like their Saturday night thing that we did. We'd go see the Matrix and then go hang out on Lower Decatur, because I was a goth kid for some reason.
Well, sure.
Yeah, but yeah, like, if it's, I don't know, I'm so on the fence about it, because there's a lot of things happening in all three of those Matrix movies, and I think they kind of fumbled at the end. So if this is kind of like a reset of the fumbling, I think we might have something interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of where I fall. To answer the question, are you excited about a new Matrix movie? Yeah, kind of. Do you feel the trilogy was wrapped up? I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yeah. So, it kind of was. Was it wrapped up in a good way? Nah, who knows?
Yeah. That's for the course to decide.
Exactly.
Let's do a comic book one. Josh, what's the best comic book cover of all time?
Best comic book cover of all time?
Let me give you some options. And you see what speaks to you. So of course you got the famous Phoenix crushing the Uncanny X-Men logo.
Yeah.
You've got what's his face? Todd McFarlane's first Spider-Man cover.
Oh, that is probably the most memorable cover.
The Jim Lee fivefold gate for X-Men 1.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Crisis on Infinite Earth with Superman holding Supergirl.
Are these some of the ones that we're thinking about picking from? Because there's a set. All right, so
these are the ones I thought of off the top of my head.
These are the ones you've thought of. I can't think of the artist who did it, but the New Mutants in the late 80s, early 90s had some of the best covers.
Is it the Demon Dark Saga?
But I feel like
Bill Sienkiewicz.
Oh, yes. Anything that human being does is great. His cover work is great. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Oh man. But yeah, I think those are some of the best. My favorite all-time comic book cover is a variant cover, though. And I don't know if it's a real variant cover, but it's a variant cover when Marvel did all of the hip-hop.
Oh, I remember that.
Album covers. And my favorite one, because one of my favorite bands, is Run the Jewels. And they did a Run the Jewels cover with Howard the Duck and Rocket Raccoon, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
Hold on. I need to find it. I need to put it in the man.
Also,
it's great.
I also want to throw out Walter Simonson's Beta Ray Bill cover where he's smashing the Mighty Thor logo. I'm a real big fan of them just breaking logos.
That's great. That is a great, yeah. The breaking of the logos are always, always a plus, I have to say.
That's pretty good. And then, I mean, from a personal standpoint, any Silver Age cover of some sort of nonsense, I am here for.
Yeah.
You know, the Super Dickory, Lois Lane. Oh, my God, that's super dope.
I know, right?
Yes. Any of the Super Dickory with Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, or Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, or Superman being like, I've got a lion's head this week. I don't know what happened. I'm here for. I don't care.
Ooh. What? It's like, why?
One of my favorite comics, and I'm going to send you the cover. When I evacuated, I took four comics of worth to me. One was the first Batwoman signed by Greg Rucka. One was
okay.
The Green Lantern Corps War signed by Jeff Johns. Justice Society of America signed by Jeff Johns. And my internet decides to speed up. I'll show you the one that's not signed and it's not graded, but I love it and I don't want to rebuy it. Come on.
Once that internet speeds up.
Yeah, I know. Jesus. You think we're not just having
to rebuild love that
our
whole
infrastructure?
I know, right? I love that whole Marvel hip hop cover catalog. I think it was an amazing thing that they did, and all of the covers just look fantastic.
I will say that when Marvel gets the idea to do some sort of like theme cover month, they go ahead and just do it.
They do it,
and they do it. They do it pretty big because it's usually. I don't know. They're not like what I would call like the greatest of all time, but they're very strong covers.
Yeah. Yeah, they do it. And I think they did two installations of the Marvel hip hop covers.
All right.
And there's a book out. There's a book out now. I say, go get it. Oh my God. That is ridiculous.
That's my favorite cover. I love it so much.
Yeah. But there's a book out with all of the hip hop variants and the covers. I'm going to throw a link to the chat that just has a breakdown of it. But okay. It's great. It's more of like what they covered. Like here's what Marvel did, and here's the original, and here's what Marvel did, and here's the original, and it blows my mind. Some of the stuff that they pulled off was great. Did a handful of Howard the Ducks because I think they were really pushing Chip's Howard at that time, which is a great read. Everyone go and get it. God, that X-Men one is so good because De La Soul. Man, we're talking about good covers.
Yeah, I know.
These are it right here.
We also didn't get a chance to talk about the fact that Hawkeye, the trailer for Hawkeye came out.
Oh. I can't tell you how I can tell you. Everyone knows how excited I am about Hawkeye. I think that's the reality that like oh man, this Hawkeye trailer just brought so much joy to my life because there was a lot of shot-to-shot scenes from the Matt Fraction comic.
Yeah.
The Arrow bit was great.
I was pretty nonplussed about Hawkeye until this trailer, and then I'm all in. It looks incredible.
From the hearing, people have been poking out. They've got the hearing aid.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. We're going to go this way. Pizza dog? Come on. Pizza dog. That's
it's gonna
it.
It's going to be
all.
A huge blast.
It's going to be a good time.
Let's do two more. tonight, because I've got some more to save in case we have to go next week. All right, Josh. Is it arrogant and or narcissistic for Hollywood actress Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang Theory to remind everyone in commercials and interviews she's actually a neuroscientist?
I think it is kind of narcissistic, but yeah. I don't think it really matters, though.
It doesn't. And I want
like
you
it's cool.
I want you to know, Josh.
It's cool that she's a neuroscientist, but cool.
I want you to know, Josh, were I a neuroscientist or a doctor, I would mention it in literally every conversation.
In every?
Everyone. Like, at the start of this podcast, it's like, hey, everyone, it's Dr. Chris Robinson, neuroscientist. Let's talk comics. Because I went to school for neuroscience. I'm gonna talk about it all the time.
I'm going to say nothing but the greatest thing. It's like, yeah, I'm a neuroscientist.
It'd be like I have a, Matt, as a neuroscientist, I think that Tales of Arise kind of sucks. What are you going to do? You didn't go to neuroscience school.
Yeah, you're not a neuroscientist. What are you? What are you?
Exactly. all right, let's end
yeah,
on. Let's...
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, whatever. She's fine. Who cares?
Yeah, she's fine.
Josh, this is a movie one. Why doesn't a groundbreaking and sociologically profound film like the original Planet of the Apes appear on most, if any, of the all-time greatest film lists?
Because it's not a great film. It's a cult film. It's a cult classic.
I mean, it's kind of hard to take it seriously with its monkey faces.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. This isn't Space Odyssey. You're not looking at Stanley Kubrick's like masterpieces that you have to go up against. And I think that's the thing that people forget. You know, two of the most acclaimed films that changed the spot of number one every time with the AFI, not the band. The American Film Institute is Vertigo, and we just talked about Vertigo in this podcast earlier.
Josh's Halloween pick.
Probably my Halloween pick, and Citizen Kane. And there are reasons why those two movies are considered the two greatest movies ever made, from storytelling wise to situation, the subject matter, the camera shots, everything, directing, acting, and so on. Planet of the Apes is a fun movie, and yeah, there's some social implications to it, but it's, at the end of the day, it's a cult film. It's like saying it's like Rambo, First Blood. It's like, man, that Rambo First Blood had a lot to say about war vets. It's like, yeah, but it's still Rambo First Blood.
I mean, that is true.
You know what I mean? Like, this is still Planet of the Apes. Like, we're talking about. We're not talking about, like I said, 2001 Space Odyssey.
I think there is a place for it on 100. I think it could be on like in the bottom half of 100 great film list.
You know, and it really might be. That's the thing, right? It really might be. Let's see what the AFI top 100, because they update it all the time, and sometimes they switch it up a bit, and then you see like Singing in the Rain as number one. Yeah, well, Casablanca. All right. It's like Citizen Kane and Casablanca, but there was a while Vertigo was going way up. But like, yeah, I don't think you're going to get Planet of the Apes in this. Pulp Fiction is on 95. Goodfellas is 94.
That's crazy. You know? That's so low for that.
Yeah, Fargo, 84. Platoon, 83. That's a real movie about Vietnam. Like, go see Apocalypse Now is 28. Apocalypse Now is a fantastic film, by the way. Mr. Movie. Oh, my God. It's a very... Dr. Strange... is my favorite movies. It's in my top five, but it's my favorite movie, and it's 26 on this list. Raging Bill. Bill, please go see that movie. That's 24 on this list. Maltese Falcon is a noir masterpiece. That's at 23. So to say that, Chinatown. If you haven't seen Chinatown, go see Chinatown. That's Jack Nicholson at his finest. 19 on this list. Planet of the Apes does not stand a chance against these films. Schindler's List. Amadeus. I'm just saying, Raiders of the Lost Ark is number 60 on this, and you're telling me that Planet of the Apes is better than Raiders of the Lost Ark.
See, okay, so I thought foolishly that, you know, you could put Planet of the Apes at the bottom half of the list because there had to be something. But he picked Goodfellas is in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know, man. That's if that's where a Goodfellas lies, that's a long bar.
Yeah, Deer Hunter, 79. Rocky, 78. And I get Rocky. I do. Great film. City Lights. Go see these Charlie Chaplin older films. These black and white Charlie Chaplin films, yeah, like Gold Rush and City Lights, very good movies.
Some of them.
Man. Maturian Candidate, 1962. Watch it. Network, another great movie. Silence of the Lambs. Like, all these movies have some heavy messages in them.
Yeah.
That's Fantasia. I don't know why Fantasia's on that list.
I wouldn't put Fantasia sucks.
Philadelphia Story. Come on with your Planet of the Apes. Who wrote this?
Some guy on Quora. I don't know. What do you want from me? I'm not going to stalk him. You stalk him on your own time.
I'm not. North by Northwest. Oh, man. Clockwork Orange. I'm telling you. Jaws.
Just rewatched all the Jaws first September.
They said all the Jaws. Jeez.
All the Jaws, yeah. I'm going to tell you something.
There's only one Jaws movie.
I don't know. I have a box set that says otherwise. I'm going to say something. That first Jaws... It hits a lot different in 2021 and 2020.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because it's like we have a problem and we have to close the beach. And everyone's like, yeah, but like, don't. Who cares? And it's like, Brody's like, Chief Brody is like, no, we have to close the beach to keep everyone safe. And everyone else is like, eh. And looking out the window at the pandemic, it's like, oh. Fuck, this wasn't far off at all.
Yeah, this isn't as fun as it once was.
Yeah. Not even Richard Dreyfuss can make this fun.
Yeah. Man.
All right, that's it for this week. We've done enough damage. I think we'll be back next week. I don't really know.
We'll see what happens. We'll probably talk about Diablo. We'll probably talk more Deathloop. You know. Stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah, and you know, next week I'll get a handle on comics, and we'll see what's happening. You know, with world of comics.
We should know what's going on in the world of comics. And I do have to say, I think if anyone's listening to the podcast, anyone who's all about the pod, go do yourself a favor and go watch one of the greatest comedies of all time. Young Frankenstein. I don't know why you're not watching it right now.
Well, I'm not watching it right now because I'm talking to you.
Go. Right, you're right. Exactly. Mel Brooks is a genius.
And we should honor Walder's him while he's still alive.
Exactly. Because we'll never have another Mel Brooks again. Never. There's no way. His comedy could not get away. Could not survive. It does. Spaceballs. Just go watch Spaceballs. Young Frankenstein. Go. Do yourself a favor and enjoy these older movies and understand the time frame they came out in, because that's the most important thing is when you watch older movies, understand the time frame they came out and get it. And just go watch Some Like It Hot. It's a great film.
Yeah.
It's got Marilyn Monroe in and Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon.
Well,
and a lot of drag.
Well, on that note, I'm going to go watch The Planet of the Apes. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, everyone.
Bye. Later.